All right. Hey, good morning. Good morning. Welcome. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is December the 3rd, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. I hope it's great wherever you were at. Definitely chilly. December always feels to me like the coldest month, even though I'm not sure officially it is, but man, December's definitely cold. It is cold out this morning. But, you know, right on schedule, it's better to be cold in the winter than it is to be hot in the winter. And that's sort of how it's been up until this point. Finally getting more on typical winter schedule, which feels good. It is chilly, though. I'm supposed to paddle in the morning. Busy week, actually. I'm paddling tomorrow and then Saturday. The club's meeting, we were getting the boats together because we have the big parade on Saturday, which honestly will be a huge inconvenience. I mean, let's just be honest. I've got to prepare. There will be devils a-coming. Inconvenience will be one of them. And, you know, that's always a good opportunity for arrogance to show up. So I will be prepared. I've already been telling myself Saturday's going to be a pain in the ass. Pain in the ass. But we'll see, because it actually, a lot of the times I will paint this picture, pre-planned a pain-in-the-ass situation, and it turns out to be an amazing day, and that's what I'm probably guessing will happen. But, you know, it's just going to be some inconveniences, you know, really. Usually when I'm at somebody else's scheduling, I guess that's how I would say it, we have to meet, and then we have to get in line, and then we have to wait. And the waiting is usually the part that's annoying. I'm going to make some chili, I think, feed the troops. But it'll be fun. We did it last year. It was great. Same shit, you know, anxiety. The challenge is parking. There's nowhere to park. And the parade starts at one place and ends at another, and where it ends is not where your car's at. So you have to sort of figure out how to strategically park your car so that you're not too far from the start and not too far from the end. And my coach wants us all to park at this one place, which means we are committed, right? Because once you leave your car there, you're committed to the team the whole time. There's no getting out early. And so, whatever. It'll be fine. I'm looking forward to it. I like to participate with the club. I'm glad I'm part of it. It's a great club. But, yeah. What's today? Today is Tuesday. I'm working today. I thought I'd just sit down. I want to try to get back into a little more regular podcast. Stop listening to the voices in my head that tell me not to do it and just do it. I enjoy doing it, and it's fun. So we'll see how this goes. But it is, like I said, Tuesday back to work. I went to a meeting last night, that Monday night meeting, which is my, you know, great meeting, great group. Actually, the meeting's getting big. I was going to that other meeting where the guy sort of had, I won't say taking the meeting hostage, but it had become his meeting. And unfortunately, when that happens, it's hard to get people to come and speak, you know. And so it's just, you know, I made the move. And since then, man, this meeting's really not because of me, but just I think other people have probably, you know, felt the same way. And, you know, several people have come from that other meeting, and it's really become a great meeting. I like it because it's reading, and of course this month, or this week of the month, the first week of the month, I should say, we go to the step, and it is on number 12. And it's funny because, you know, last Monday, first Monday of the month, we read the 11th step. You know, this is interesting. You know, we read the big book the rest of the week, or the rest of the month, excuse me, and then the first Monday we would do the step. But, you know, when we read, you know, when we read and then we come back the next week, we pick up where we left off. But when we read a step, like last first Monday of the month, we read the 11th step, but we didn't complete the whole reading. And so I thought we would just pick up on the 11th step this week, but he said, nope, that was homework. And I was like, oh. So I guess, supposed to go home and finish reading the 11th step. But this week, of course, we did number 12, which is obvious, is amazing. You know, having had the spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, our job now is to be there for the next alcoholic.
can I turn away? Brother, sister, go dancing through my head. Human as to human, the future is no place to place your better day.
Freedom, Dave Matthews Band, off of their first album, I think, Crush. No, I think this is their second album. Anyway, Cry Freedom. Yeah, man, the 12 step. One of the tough things about the 12 steps is not everybody has done it. It is a, it definitely takes a while. You have to stay sober and you have to work a program. And if that does happen and you get to the 12 step, it's amazing, right? That means that we have done everything up into and including the 12 step, and I wanted to read it actually as it's read because I think of the practice, these principles, and all are a fair part. But it says, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Yeah. You know, I shared this the other day. I've shared it several times. In the end, all that this program ends up wanting from us is to be very, very, very good people. A very good person, publicly and privately. And immediately, you know, I started feeling better publicly. You know, look at me. I am not drinking. Da, da, da. Dents started popping out, right? Life started looking better. And immediately I started to feel better. Immediately, I started to have a slight spiritual awakening. I personally believe that we are spiritual beings. Like my friend Libby used to say, I'm a spiritual being having a human experience that involves alcohol. Meaning, spiritual awakening, the spirit of us, my spiritual experience has always been there, right? Like my buddy said, and I just said yesterday, you two spirits cannot exist in the same place. And whether that is booze, right, or, right, self, right, or, you know, ego or pride, I call them all devils. You cannot have the devil and God in the same place, and for a long time in my life, I've had the devil in some version of it. And while that is taking place, it's muted, right? It's quieted my spiritual, my humble spiritual God side of me. The devil's been running the show for a long time. And, you know, I said the other day, I came in this program with a lot of problems. And the first one being that I drank too much, of course. But, you know, once I put that down, then the program and these steps, right, these steps, and then started to teach me of all the other issues that I have. The number one being my self-centered side. And since then, right, it's just been a battle, recognizing, right? Even trying to fix self can be selfish. So it is a tricky path. And like I shared last night, these steps and time. I think that's actually a saying. Time is the solution. And it. There are days it doesn't feel worth it. And there's days that it's a miracle. But over the time, I have started to learn, you know, what a selfish, self-centered person I really am, and the self-centered fear, and how it's a spirit, right? It's a devil, right? That devil is very selfish, inconsiderate, doesn't think of others. You know, I've met many versions of it. You know, I've even met the version that wants me absolutely by myself in an apartment, drinking vodka by myself, hopefully headed towards death. I've even met that version, and that's not a good version to meet, and I hope I never meet that version again. But, you know, it's a spiritual battle. It's a, you know, the spiritual awakening is, to me, a byproduct of removing the self, right? Removing that spirit. And so, you know, like I said the other day, I came in with this program with a shitload of problems, and over time I've worked at them, and through the steps I've allowed me to remove little pieces of problems until the whole problem was gone. And, you know, with versions of it showing back up and being cool with the other version and still being sick due to this version of the selfishness, and then working on that, right? You know, I was talking to a buddy of mine who said that his sponsor told him the problem, the reason he had drank when he had, because he had come back after a year or so, or he'd gotten about a year and, I don't know, 16 months and drank. It was all busted up over it, and he should be, right? It's emotional. It's a bummer. But his sponsor told him the problem was he hadn't had the spiritual awakening, and now he feels like he has. And I said, you know, I don't know if anybody can tell us that. That's great, I guess, right? But I just don't, you know. I'm like, I'll celebrate 16 years this month, and I really feel like when I came back from the pandemic, I really felt like I'd had the spiritual awakening. All of a sudden, something clicked, and I started to sort of understand it. But that was probably 4 years ago, right? So to think I've had the spiritual awakening, you know, within the first year is maybe, right? But I also think that, you know, I know one thing. Since I've had the spiritual awakening, having the spiritual awakening is not something that I'm concerned about or wonder about or even have to try to justify that I have or don't have. You know, what I've learned is, for me, the spiritual awakening is living a very, 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 very good life publicly and privately. And like I said, early on, man, it's easy to publicly look better. It's the private shit. The private shit can keep us sick. You know, it's like, you know, walking up to a store, hey, man, I appreciate you, thank you, and then getting in your car and saying, that motherfucker is a piece of shit, right? Privately, we're sick. I'm sick, right? You know, early on recovery, I was on a assassination mission, right? I just wanted, you know, look at how good I am and look how fucked up this person is. So early on, you know, publicly, I would be very friendly and graceful. And then privately, I would assassinate them. And I don't know why. Why, really? Because I wanted to feel better about myself. Self at its finest work. Right. And so, you know, over the years, right, it's not like I've had a spiritual awakening. It's that I've stopped being a shithead privately. Right. Privately, I have, you know, sarcasm. I was thinking about this list of all these things that can keep us sick, and we have one. It's called our character defect list and shortcomings. Right. And the best example is sarcasm, you know, because everybody thinks it's funny. But in the end, right, and like I said last night, this has been about the fear. Fear is what my problem is. Fear is what got me here, and fear is what keeps me from having the spiritual awakening, right? Because fear is associated with self, and self is associated with an evil spirit, which I think is a devil. And you cannot have two spirits existing in the same place. You cannot have self, fear, devil in one part of you and humble, not afraid God in another. You just can't have it. You know? And so there's a lot of things in early recovery and even middle recovery and even recovery to this day that privately that happens that keeps fear in our lives. And if you're afraid, you're not having a spiritual awakening. I'm not having the spiritual awakening. How can I be? I'm consumed in self. I believe that spiritual awakening is a byproduct of just being a good person, publicly and privately. Right? Not being afraid. You know, I also said last night, I did not come for a spiritual awakening. I remember hearing about it. I remember putting my two cents in my personal expectations of a spiritual awakening. A spiritual awakening that serves self, of course, because that's everything that I've ever done in my life. If I like it, if I want it, it's because self, it's self-serving. And I shared last night, I've always wanted a spiritual awakening. I've always wanted a relationship with God because I want God to serve me. And that is just sick. You know, God fix this, God fix that. God, I need this, God, I need that. That's the kind of God, that's the kind of spiritual awakening I want. And that's not, that is self. You can't have two spirits at the same place. So over time, I've lowered my expectations, completely changed my expectation, actually have zero expectations of what a relationship with a higher power would look like. And if I just be a very, 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 very good person, I have this place that's called peace, love, and free of fear. And it talks about it in the first couple paragraphs of that first step or the 12th step in the 12 and 12. It talks about that peace, love, free of fear. That, my friends, is for me is God today. That's my spiritual awakening. That I get moments of. The only reason I don't have it is when self comes nosing back in. You know, hence next Saturday, which I've said, and I've talked about this before, I know on Saturday of this week, I will not be holding the hand of God because I will be inconvenienced and arrogance will show up and self will be all up in there. And then I will not have a spiritual awakening. I will have a self-centered moment and it'll be full of fear and chit-chat, you know, and predictions and all this other bullshit. And I'm going to do everything I've been told not to do. I'm not going to stay in the day. How could I be if I'm already thinking about it, right? I'm not going to live one day at a time. I'm going to sort of drag that next Saturday all around this week, and I'm just going to be a kind of bit miserable. Maybe, right? Or maybe me talking about it right now, maybe me outing myself about how, as a person that's got this much time and has it all figured out, can still be full of self. You know, maybe me talking about it will help and maybe it won't be as bad as I think. In fact, it'll probably be an amazing moment. Just like last week, or last December, when we did the parade last December, it was magical. Magical. But man, you know, still not better, right? Still have moments, just chronic, little chronic moments. But, you know, I don't think, I think it's hard to tell somebody that they've had the spiritual awakening now. You know, I'll never forget my first meeting, driving home from my first meeting. I know I've shared this, but driving home from my first meeting, and this was a guy that drove every night drunk on alcohol and drugs. Every day he woke up wanting to be better. Every day at the end of the night, not being better. Every morning waking up with shame and guilt. Before my past behavior, for whether it was last night or my whole life, right? Just all of it, just sick, 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 and driving home from my first meeting and not being drunk and having this slice of peace, just a little slice of peace and happiness for a moment. And I remember just this peace and joy. And that was my first introduction. Hey, I just shook the hand of God for a moment. I'm like, what's up? He's like, hey, how are you? How's this feel? And I said, this feels really good. And it wasn't him. You know, let's not get crazy here, but it wasn't the spiritual awakening God, you know, moment. It was the fact I wasn't being a dipshit. Right? You know, and I just had that, but that was the first day, and that was my first, you know, plot problem I worked out. And over the last 16, and it's been more than that, right? It's been, you know, I don't have as much time as I did when I started, but I've been showing up, right? It doesn't matter. You know, I've put the time in and I've experienced it. And that from that day forward, I've been working on little problems ever since. And today I can say that I just don't have any problems. And the problems that I have, I'm completely aware of and can be ready for. Right? Like this, my biggest problem, well, my biggest, it's not even a problem. My biggest challenge, and you know, this happened last night, sort of got into it with my father because, you know, I'm, it's a tough watching my dad. You know, this is, if your parents are getting old and you're going through this, it's tough. You know, it's tough to see a person's life wind down, right? And I don't want to lose him, right? I told him last night, I don't think you're dying. I think you just, you know, you're just getting older, but this is a new version of you. But I, you know, I got mad because I'm like, I'm doing all this. I'm making a lot of effort to for his happiness, and I don't feel like he is making any, you know? And I just, and that's selfish, I guess. I don't know. But I'm like, you know, you need to start getting dressed, Dad. You know, he won't get out of this freaking gown. And he's like, and I got him a doctor's appointment, which is today. And I said, you got to get dressed. He goes, I just want to wear my gown. Give me my bathrobe. And I got mad. I said, you know, Dad, God damn it. I said, I'm putting a lot of effort in because I couldn't find him a bathrobe. No bathrobes yet. You know, in Christmas season, they have not, the bathrobes have not arrived. So I bought him some sweatpants and a sweatshirt or sweat jacket. And everything's been picked through. I had to get him two different colors. You know, I'm really going through a lot of effort to try to keep him happy. And, you know, as I don't understand, I go, you know, I go, we have to show up sometimes. We have to get dressed. We have to show up. That's what he used to tell me. You got to show up and grow up. And, you know, besides my, you know, working with my dad, I really don't have any challenges. And that's, and I'm grateful for being there for my dad. I've said it before. I couldn't be any more grateful. I'm just blessed and love it that I'm even here for him because it wasn't looking like I would be. But besides that situation, I really don't have any problems. And if I do, I know what's going to be, and I can prepare myself and talk about it. The one thing that's cool about having the spiritual awakening is that when we have it, oh, now I start to see why and why I don't. And then I start to protect it, right? Then I start to be aware and, you know, like my buddy Steve says, you know, spiritual awakening is really holding the hand of God. Really holding it? No, right? But it's a metaphor, right? It's an idea that I'm dumbing it down. I'm holding the hand of God. And when I am not holding the hand of God, it's because I'm doing something else. Probably a character defect or a shortcoming, right? Character defects and shortcomings are the thing that keeps me from holding the hand of God. It's not my moral inventory now. I'm aware of who I am and why I do what I do, right? I've shared all of my darkest secrets. This stuff is just, you're either a victim or a volunteer. At this point, I'm volunteering to be a victim, and I know better. But see, even like a couple years ago, I could maybe be aware of it, but I wasn't that aware of it. But today, I'm so aware of it. So aware of it that I talk about, you know, this weekend will be an inconvenience. Arrogance will show up. And on top of that, I decided I'm going to volunteer and make chili and bring chili for the club. So I've even added more inconvenience on top of it. But at the same time, I'm proud of my chili and I'm proud to feed my folks. And so that's cool. It's cool. But, you know, this is the problem, man. This is what a sober, being sober, sober living is. This is my biggest problem, right? A freaking Christmas parade with my boat club and making chili. It's really not bad. All right, let me see. So I guess, you know, the point is, listen, you know, if you're on the working, the key to getting to the 12th step is working the steps, right? And not drinking and just putting in the time and have no expectations. Just do what we do, right? Clean up our shit through these steps, which is fantastic. You know, 4 and 5 are huge. 6 and 7 are huge. 8 and 9 are huge. 10, like I told that guy last night. And this, I think, is the key for me, right? Continue to take personal inventory. And when we are wrong, promptly admit it, right? Is that the 10th step? Continue to take personal inventory. And when we were wrong, promptly admitted it, which I always thought was a great step, especially when I first came in. I'm like, I love that. Whenever I do something wrong, I can just say, I'm sorry. I love that. But I was telling the guy last night, I said, you know, the real turning point for me where it was continue to take spiritual inventory. And when we were wrong, promptly admitted it and tried not to do it again. Right? Try not to do it again. You know, there's a guy like me that will do something to say, man, I'm sorry. Hey, sorry I did that. And then do it again, right? Every time something like that comes up, especially in the 10th step where you're doing something that promptly means admitting that it, what's it say? Promptly admitted it, made amends, what's it say? Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it, right? There's a difference between promptly admitting it and then doing it again. Which I did for a long time. You know, I'm at the 10th step. I'm promptly admitting it. Hey, look at me. Hey, high ground here. That's my fault. I apologize about that. And then do it again. It creates fear and you let go of the hand of God. So that 10th step is a huge deal to really, I think, transition us from, you know, this person that's not having this great relationship with God to really a person that is, because it's the dumb shit that we have to admit over and over and over, that's part of the reason we don't have the relationship. You know, most of it's private too. You know, whether it's around social media, whether it's around women, whether it's around trying to find women, I don't know. I don't know. But everything publicly and privately, we got to be better. Or we become afraid. Or we worry. Is someone going to find out, right? If you're married and you're doing something on the side, or you know flirting around, hope she doesn't find out. It's always this fear and worry, and you know it's. And listen, I've been guilty of it early on, man. It's tough, you know. These things can keep us very sick. But you know, continue to take personal and spiritual inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it, and then don't do it again. The doing it again is what keeps us sick, man. Yep. Am I making sense here? I hope so. I hope everyone's having, you know, I hope everyone's staying sober. I am celebrating. Celebration's coming up. Very excited. All right, here we go. Let's read the daily reflections and then I'll let you go. I got to go to work. December 3rd. In all our affairs, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Now, isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy that this step that I'm reading, today's daily reflection, is the end of the 12th step? December 3rd. We tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. 12 steps, 12 traditions, page 106. I find that carrying the message of recovery to other alcoholics is easy because it helps me to stay sober and it provides me with a sense of well-being about my own recovery. The hard part is practicing these principles in all my affairs, right? Publicly and privately, right? It is important that I share the benefits I receive from AA, especially at home. Doesn't my family deserve the same patience, tolerance, and understanding I so readily give to the alcoholics? When reviewing my day, I try to ask, did I have a chance to be a friend today and miss it? Did I have a chance to rise above nasty situations and avoid it? Did I have a chance to say I'm sorry and refuse to? Just as I ask God for help with my alcoholism each day, I ask for help in extending my recovery to include all situations and all people. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and what happens when we ask ourselves that, did I? Creates fear, right? Then we become afraid and we become worried. And then that selfish side of us comes again. You know, we have to be better publicly and privately. And whether it's, you know, hitting opportunities like that to be there for someone, you know, it's always about managing the fear that comes from that. And yeah. All right. Well, listen, I hope everyone has a great day. I appreciate you letting me share. I am going to get I got to get ready and go to work. So I'll catch you later. Bye-bye.
Cry, freedom, cry from deep inside. Hands and feet are all alike, but go.